So I have here 10 wonderful old words for winter ailments that we need to bring back. The first one here is Meldrop. Meldrop, M-E-L-D-R-O-P. Derived from Scandinavian roots, originally a Meldrop was a drop of foam from a horse's mouth as it chomps on the bit, the metal crossbar held in the horse's mouth. Old Norse word was mel. According to the English dialect dictionary, however, the original meaning gave way to a more figurative and more useful word in the 16th century Scots, as well as being another word for a drip of water from a tip of an icicle. A meldrop is a pendulous droplet from the tip of a person's nose. So, you ever have a meldrop on your nose, Esmeralda?
Yes.
That's why we have to have tissues. That's why everybody needs tissues. Meldrop. I've never heard the meldrop. How about this one? Snirl. S-N-I-R-R-L. S-N-I-R-L. Snirl. Besides being a long-forgotten dialect word for the nose, or for the metal hoop pierced through a bull's nostrils, snurl, or snurl, S-N-U-R-L, is an old 18th century word, dialect word for a stuffy head cold. Oh, man, I've got a snurl. The metal hoop pierced through a bull's nostrils. Snurl is kind of an interesting, you know. We should.
It sounds
should,
like an animal.
Yeah, it does.
A bug.
Yeah,
from Dr. Seuss.
I've got a terrarium at home filled with snurls.
Snurls and sleeps.
Yeah.
Snops and soups.
Thank you, Dr. Seuss. How about a kiffle? K-I-F-F-L-E, a kiffle. To kiffle is to cough because you have a tickle in your throat. To hosk, meanwhile, H-O-S-K, meanwhile, is to cough harshly or painfully. That's what I was just telling you I've been doing, Esmeralda.
Doing a lot of hosking?
I've been hosking a lot lately. Although not as much, but now when I hosk, it hurts because I've been coughing so much that like the muscles inside my stomach and chest are sore.
Getting a workout.
Yes, the only workout I've gotten in a long time. To boke, B-O-K-E, is to cough violently. According to the English Dialect Dictionary, and to worken, W-I-R-K-E-N, is to cough or choke, likely because you're eating too quickly. Hey, slow down. You're going to worken. Want to stop stuffing your face? There's going to be a worken issue coming up.
I know a guy that happened to, like, multiple times.
Like he choked?
He didn't choke. He just had food stuck in his throat.
Now, you told me this. This is one of V's friends, right?
Yeah. He was like a duck. Like, he didn't even chew.
That was like Homer Simpson.
Yeah. So he had a work. What was it called?
Working.
A work. He was working.
Because you're eating too quickly.
Yeah.
But now, is there a term for having food stuck in your throat? What did he have stuck in his throat?
I don't know what it was. Lobster, I think?
He had lobster stuck in his throat.
Yeah.
How did he breathe?
He could breathe. It was just stuck in there. And that's actually, that happened to me a very long time ago when I was a kid.
You had food stuck in your throat?
Yeah, I had a piece of banana that didn't go, it didn't go all the way down.
So.
And it was just in there. You could feel it, but I could breathe fine.
Oh, man.
It was just weird.
No, how did you eventually swallow it all the way?
Yeah, I think after a while it kind of dislodged.
Oh, man.
But mine wasn't painful. Apparently his was painful and stuff like that.
Well, yeah.
But it's like maybe you should chew your food.
Right. And then a tisic, T-I-S-S-I-C-K, a tisic, likewise is a dry tickling cough. That's kind of where I am as well now, except I've got the muscle pain. So that all starts with kiffle.
So you have a tisic and a...
And a hosk.
Hosk.
Yeah.
There you go.
Tisic accompanied by a hosk.
Again, these just sound like animals. Old-timey animals.
Yeah, it's true. Dan, you ever have food stuck in your throat?
Can't say that I have.
Yeah. I've never
ever
had
ever just think, I could swallow that. Oh, okay.
No. Okay, well, good. That'll be for next Friday, right, Dan? Because you've got all of...
Yep.
Got all the out of context for this week all set up. All right, how about this one? Fox's cough, F-O-X apostrophe S, Fox's cough. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, this is a hoarse scratching cough that refuses to clear up, apparently so because the fox's call is so raucous and guttural. Fox's call. I like that. I think that's pretty cool. Now, this one, I'm not even going to be able to pronounce this. Dan, did you see this one? Were you able to pronounce this one?
I did not check out the pronunciation.
Sternutament. 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 That's a S-T-E-R-N-U-T-A-M-E-N-T. Sternutament. Sternutation is a 19th century medical word for the act of sneezing, which makes the sternument an equally ancient word for a single sneeze. Oh, really? Now, let me ask you guys, when you do sneeze, are you a multiple or a single? Dan, multiple or single?
Multiple.
Esmeralda? Usually single.
Yeah, I'm usually a single as well.
I get worried if I sneeze too much in a day.
Wow.
Because that means like I'm getting sick or something's happening.
Or you're in a dusty place.
No, one and then I'm out.
You know, that's usually the case for me, too.
If I do less than three, it's odd.
Really? Yeah, I had a friend, my buddy Patrick, he would sneeze, I mean, and it got to the point where every time he'd sneeze again, we'd laugh. It got to the point where it's like he'd sneeze like 10 times in a row. And then he would say, he's like, I'm trying, he goes, every time I sneeze, I try to get it all out. Just get it all out so I don't have to sneeze again. And he would sneeze like 10 times in a row. But yeah, I'm normally a single. It's usually a big one, too. Like half my brain will fly out of my nose when I sneeze. Which isn't big anyway, because there's not much in my head. As sneezing goes, the dictionary is quite a rich vocabulary to fall back on. A chisup? C-H-I-S-S-U-P. A tissha? A-T-I-S-S-H-A. And kneezle, N-E-A-Z-E-L-E, are all long forgotten and wonderfully onomatopoeic words for sneezes. With kneezle predominantly meaning to make the noise of a sneeze. So instead of achu, kneezle is the noise of a sneeze. Now when you sneeze, Esmeralda, do you go achu? Do you actually try to...
I hold them in.
No, that's not good.
I know. I hold them in and it's usually like a...
Oh, I see. No, you don't hold them in. That's not good. And then I told you a little thing yesterday, Esmeralda, that you didn't know. Dan, did you know this? That if you feel like you're going to sneeze, you feel it coming on, look at something bright?
I had heard that before. I don't know.
Works for me. Like, look at a bright light or look up at the sun. And I don't know, maybe it doesn't work for everybody, but it works for me. But Esmeralda, you don't want to sneeze.
Well, no, I don't want to sneeze out. I sneeze. I just kind of like hold it in.
No, you got to let everything fly.
Ugh.
You don't want that stuff in there.
That's why we got so much flu flowing around. People are just letting it fly.
Now you put a tissue up to your face and sneeze. Cover it. Cover your face. Cover your mouth when you sneeze.
I have your pronunciation.
Okay.
Sternutament.
Sternutament. One more time. That was sexy.
Sternutament.
Thank you, baby. Whoa. What website is that? I might have to visit that one when I'm lonely.
Medical-dictionary.com.
You record that for me, Dan, on a loop? I'm going to bring that home with me. One more time. Does she have a name?
I think you broke her.
Sternutament. Well,
thank you. Wow. I feel like Joaquin Phoenix in her.
Sternutament.
Yeah. let's see. The adjective ptarmigan describes anything that makes you sneeze. And even the word sneeze itself is of interest, as it was originally spelled F-N-E-S-E. Before its initial F was misread as a long S in the 15th century. So it was sneeze. That sounds like the original F-N-E-S-E. Sneeze. That sounds like a sneeze, doesn't it, Fenice? All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we've got five more words for ailments of the winter that we need to bring back. Okay, we'll take a break and come back after this. Yeah. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. It's Friday. Fly Jams Friday. Coming up, the countdown to Dummy of the Year will happen. And we will have Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and more. Right now, we're talking about 10 wonderful old words for winter ailments that we need to bring back. And we've been going through some of these terms here. So let's see. We got some texts coming in. 708 area code says food bolus is a medical term for food being stuck in your throat. B-O-L-U-S. Food bolus is a medical term for food being stuck in your throat. There's actually a medical term for it. 608 area code says... I have a friend who held in a sneeze one time, and it blew a hole in his lung, and he almost died. They said the chances of it happening are like 1,000,000 to 1, but again, it only takes one time. I believe Esmeralda has stepped out of the hut for a second, but I want to bring... Oh, there she is. She's back. Esmeralda, did you hear that?
No.
608 area code. I have a friend who held in a sneeze one time and blew a hole in his lung, and he almost died. They said the chances of it happening are 1,000,000 to 1, but then again, it only takes one time. So you might want to let the snot fly, Esmeralda.
I don't, like, hold it in so I don't sneeze. Like, it all just happens in my nose without anything coming out. The worst that I've heard is that you get blood clot, like your blood vessels will pop.
Your blood vessels will pop, yes. It's just sneeze, Esmeralda. Let it fly.
That's disgusting.
It's not disgusting. It's natural.
No.
Just cover your mouth and then go wash your hand. Or get a tissue and put it up into your face. It's fine. And by the way, when you were out of the hut, you might want to let your friend know, Esmeralda, that there is actually a medical term for food being stuck in your throat. And it's food bolus.
Oh, Lord.
B-O-L-U-S. Food bolus. So... It's common enough that there's actually a medical term for it, Esmeralda.
Yeah. Not my friend.
Let him know. Jesse says, hello, my wife sneezes 3 times each time, and it's annoying. When she's sick, man, it's a sneeze-a-palooza. Well, dude, that's a little selfish. It gets annoying. She can't help it. Stop sneezing! I can't.
Ridiculous.
Wow, man. When she's sick, it's a sneeze-a-palooza. I'm telling you, my friend Patrick, when he would sneeze, when it would start, we'd go, oh, man. We'd all just kind of sit there like if we were in a group. He'd start sneezing. It was like 10 times in a row. And like after number 5, we would just laugh harder every single time he sneezed. And he... So I didn't find it annoying. In fact, I found it very funny. He didn't find it pleasant, I can tell you that much. I want to sneeze 10 times in a row every time you sneeze. All right, more terms here. Awvish. A-W-V-I-S-H. Awvish, probably derived from a corruption of half or halfish. If you're awvish, then you're not exactly unwell, but you're not feeling your best. A similar and equally evocative term from the 18th century was frobly, frobly-mobly, or fobly-mobly. There's a hyphen there, Esmeralda, between frobly and mobly.
Oh, of course.
Fobly mobly or frobly mobly. Francis Groves defined as meaning is indifferently well in his Glossary of Provincial and Local Words of 1839. So awvish, you're like, awvish. That's how you're feeling. Not sick, but I'm a little frobly mobly. Esmeralda, you feeling a little frobly mobly today?
Not today. Sometimes I'm frobbly mobbly, but not today.
Not today. No frobbly mobbly today. How about presenteeism? Presenteeism. It's the opposite of absenteeism. Presenteeism is a term coined in the early 1930s for the act of turning up to work despite being unwell. Ah! How about that? This is why everybody has those wipes and, you know, people spray down the microphones and stuff here. Because you might have somebody being presenteeism, bringing in their little frobbly wobblies to work. You leave your frobbly wobbly at home. How about this one? Headwarch. One word. H-E-A-D-W-A-R-C-H. Headwarch. Work is an old English word for pain, which ironically derives from the same ancient root as work, W-O-R-K. That makes headwarch an equally ancient word for a headache, which only survived in recent decades in a handful of dialects in the northern counties of England. If you're after something a bit more formal than that, however, there's always cephalagy, which is a serious word for a headache that gained popularity in the 1600s. Headwarch. Yep. Combined with my fobbly wobbly, I have a headwarch. How about this? Kinkhoused. Another hyphenated word here. K-I-N-K hyphen H-A-U-S-T. Kinkhoused. That sounds like a sounds like a German porn, doesn't it? Kinkhoused. As a verb, kink can be used to mean to cough convulsively, while a housed or a host is a single cough or a tickle in the throat. Put together, those words combined form a dialect word, kinkhoused, which, according to the 19th century vocabulary, was used to refer to a combined violent cold and cough. Kinkhoused. You don't want a kinkhoused. That doesn't sound pleasant. I'd rather have a fobbly wobbly than a kinkhoused. And then finally, alysm. A-L-Y-S-M. Alysm. If some or all of the above apply to you, it might be worth remembering this obscure term from psychology and psychiatry. And it is the restless boredom or ennui that comes from being unwell or confined to your bed is called alysm. So when you're in bed and you're not feeling well, that feeling that you have of restless boredom is alysm. Never used that word before. All right, which ones do we like the most, Esmeralda?
I think frobbly wobbly.
I believe that's the one that stands out.
Oh, yeah. I got to write that one down so I can
Yep, frobbly. There's two of them. There's frobbly mobbly or fobbly mobbly. That's when you're not feeling great, but you're not feeling real sick.
So wait. Do they mean different things?
No, they're the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they drop the R at some point. Frobbly mobbly or fobbly mobbly.
Are you sure that's your favorite?
Well, Mr. Newtiment.
Oh, well, now let's not forget about the lovely medical dictionary woman. Can we hear that one more time?
She says
it. Mr. Newtiment.
There you go. They have no credit on the website for who says it? Because I want to have her on the show.
It's like that CTA lady. She has to sign the confidentiality agreement before she can actually record.
Yeah.
I remember remember when they used to have the intersections? Or now they do the intersections when you pull up on the CTA train. So it'll say, this is Grand and...
Grand and State, yeah.
But it used to be just...
Grand.
Yeah. So she would say, this is Grand.
Yeah. Well, there was a guy, too, that did the voiceover as well.
Yeah, this he's from is Wisconsin.
Yeah. I think I actually had him on the show, if I'm not mistaken.
There's a lady who, they've changed it up, but there was a lady who did the ones about, like, if someone needed help on the inbound platform. She had a real thick Chicago accent, too.
Was it a recording?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a recording. Because I would hear it at different stops.
Okay. And it was like if somebody needs assistance, like someone needs assistance at the... Yeah.
And the inbound platform.
Like, yeah. No, that's exactly right, Esmeralda.
It was like really. Yeah. I was like, wow.
No, you're absolutely right. That's one of my favorites. Yeah. On the inbound platform. Yeah. That's very funny. That's good. Okay. We have to break. And then when we come back, we're going to kick off another round of You Big Dummy, leading us ultimately to the Dummy of the Year. And that's coming up right after the news, which is coming up next.